Beloved congregation, the commemoration of Pentecost that lays again behind us, but nevertheless it is not against the word of God that in this evening, even that you have heard last Sunday sermons referring to the great event, that in this evening that we ask your attention again for a little while for the Feast of Pentecost. My text for this evening is in the second book of Exodus. The 34th chapter, verse 22. Exodus 34, verse 22. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thus far. With the help of the Lord, I will speak to you this evening about the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of the First Fruits. In the first place, instituted in the Old Testament dispensation. Second, fulfilled in the New Testament day. And thirdly, personally experienced in our heart and life. The day of Pentecost, congregation, was a feast instituted by the Lord himself. In the first place, in the days of Abraham, then the Lord instituted circumcision, that all the boys born out of the generation of Abraham, that they must be circumcised. And that circumcision, that was a sign, a token of the covenant of grace. And it must be kept amongst the people. The Lord had taken care for that circumcision already, especially in the days of Moses, that if some family was refusing the institution of the Lord, that they were censored by placing them outside of the camp. In the days of Moses, the last night, when they were in Egypt, ready to leave the country, then the Lord instituted the second sacrament of the Old Testament, Passover. And that Passover, the same as circumcision, that refers also to Christ. It refers to the blood of Christ, where a lamb 1 year old must be killed and be eaten by the families, and the blood must be striked on the post of the door and on the lintel of the door. And it is well remarkable that in Exodus 12, that the Lord declares there that that Passover, that that must be remembered amongst the people as an eternal testimony given amongst them from the Lord. 50 days after that Passover, then Pentecost was there. And of course the Pentecost, that was especially the feast of the harvest. With Passover they brought the firstlings of the sheep before the Lord. They dedicated already the harvest to the Lord at that time. But with the day of Pentecost, then they brought as a command of the Lord 2 loaves of bread before the Lord to acknowledge him for the blessing that the Lord had given them to. And also that Pentecost feast, that refers of course also to Christ. But more than that, it refers to that harvest that would come not only in the days of Moses and of the Old Dispensation, but also in the days of the New Testament, with a very special purpose and intention. Because in the days of the Old Dispensation, and all those things were limited only to the nation of Israel. But the day of Pentecost, in the fullness of time especially, then it would refer to the church over the whole world. That was already promised in the days of Noah, that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. And now of course, this evening, I will say something about that Pentecost feast in regard to the number 50. It was 50 days after Passover. And it is not only there, but in other circumstances amongst the people of the Old Testament, that the 50 days that had a special meaning. In the first place, 50 days after that Israel was delivered out of the house of bondage, and that they were camped by the Mount Sinai, then the Lord came down from heaven, and the Lord gave to Moses the civil law, the law of the ceremony, but also the moral law. And then in that same time that the Lord gave the laws to Moses and to Israel of old, then in that same time, the Lord entered with the nation of Israel into a covenant. The question come up, of course, did now all the people of Israel, all the seed of Abraham, was that now all engrafted in that covenant, spiritually, then we have to say no. But still, it was a day of a great significance. Because after that the Lord had revealed there the covenant of grace towards Israel, the Lord was waiting for an answer of that people. And that people had given an answer. We know that. You read in Exodus that all the people said, Amen, Amen. Young and old, great and small, have said that. Thus, in other words, the whole nation of Israel had accepted that covenant. It was a revelation national to the people of Israel. And then you read in the sermon of Stephen in Acts 7 that Moses had received the law out of the hand of the mediator. Dus that means out of the hand of Christ. Christ came in between when the Lord opened that covenant and when the Lord accepted that covenant. I will soon say no something more about it. But now, there was an other number of 50. And that refers to the year of Jubilee. Of Jubilee. Every 50 years, then the persons that came under the jurisdiction of other people, or when they have lost the substance and what the Lord had given to them, they receive it all back. The year of Jubilee, that was the year of releasing. And of course, that was for that people a very great event. Soon, nog some more about it. And then in the third place, 50 days after Passover, then it was a feast of harvest. The people was living under the law, and Paul, you know, in 2 Corinthians 3, he acknowledged the Lord that he was a minister not of the law, but a minister of the gospel. He rejoiced in that. Nevertheless, we must not think, congregation, that however that the people of Israel, that was living under the law, that they were not always strangers of joy and of gladness. That was in the Old Testament dispensation, was that also there. When it was Passover, then the people came from all the country of Palestine and Canaan together for some days and some weeks, because there was people that stay all those 7 weeks in Jerusalem and in the omgeving of their city. They meet one another. They have day after day service in the tabernacle and later on in the temple. Dus that feast of Passover, That was also a feast of joy and of gladness. It was always a reminding that the Lord had delivered them out of the house of bondage. And that was not without joy and without gladness. They have also the feast of the tabernacles, loofhuttenfeest, the feast of the tabernacle, that for 8 days that they were dwelling in tents. And then that was also an occasion of joy for Israel, always reminding what the Lord had done to them. But now I say that I would say something about that feast of Passover also. Christ, as mediator, he came already in between with the feast of Passover. And when the Lord referred that people to the time of the New Testament, that the Lamb of God who would take the sin of the world away, that he would suffer and die on Calvary's cross, and that he would give his soul as a ransom for many. Because righteously the people, on account of their sins and transgressions, they always have to die. The Lord, he said, cursed is every man that is not doing the words of the law. And that people of Israel, they did realize, of course, and especially the converted people amongst them, they did realize that they have no right to live, well, a right to be cast away. But now, with Passover, a double sacrifices were held there at those days. And then the Lord, he was treating that people not in his wrath, but in his mercy. And therefore, 50 days after that Passover, it was the day of Pentecost, that the Lord had given the law to that people. And that law that had to condemn him, the same as that law have to condemn me and you. And still, so many blessings were granted unto that people all the time. Notwithstanding all the sins and all the transgressions, sometimes the Lord was angry. You read that in the days of Moses too, and in the days of the judges, that the Lord was almost ready to do him away, to cast him away out of his sight, but he never did. And why had he not never done that? Why was there room to live for that people? Because Christ was in between, the mediator of the covenant of grace. And in the fullness of time, then that Christ would give himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. And now all the blessings following out of that Christ would be applied to that people of Israel, not always in a saving way, but even Israel outwardly, they have also the blessings flowing out of Christ. You know, Bunyan, that man that goes far with that, oh so far, Bunyan, he said, they can even not live in beast without Christ. And of course, that man, that means not to say that Christ ever had done anything for a beast, for an animal, we know that better. but all the blessings outwardly and inwardly in our daily life too, and especially in our spiritual life, that is all coming from Christ. If it shall testify against us in the day of days, then it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, for Tyre and Sidon, than for us people, because then that blood of that mediator, that shall testify against us. Oh, that we may realize it. Also, we who are living under the dispensation of the New Testament. And now, in the days of the Old Dispensation, how that the Lord had prepared the way for the coming of Christ in the world. You see that in the laws that the Lord had given, every 50 years, the year of Jubilee, that the people receive back all that they have lost, their persons and also their land and their houses. And now, of course, in the Old Testament, it happens too, as that it happens now, that you cannot always say it is the fault of that man or that woman that they are in poverty. No. It is all under the providence of the Lord. We can visit it in our life with sicknesses. Can take place that our business go down. There is people in the world that is working and working day and night to keep it up, but finally they have to give it up and bankrupt. And then they are standing there with nothing else just guilt and sin. But now with us, of course, that is a different condition. We are all in a state and in a condition that we are without God in the world. Clear enough. And there is not one amongst us and is in come in this world that ever can blame the Lord. As soon as the Holy Spirit reproves us of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, and the Lord open our eyes, then we have all to confess, it is my own sin. Because in paradise, the Lord, he opened the way in the covenant of works, that Adam could establish himself in the place where the Lord had placed him and created him. In the covenant of works was a command, there was a promise, and there was a penalty. And Adam in paradise was able to obey the Lord, not now more, no. But in paradise, he had all those gifts. And he had that ability received from the Lord, that he could serve the Lord and obey the Lord with his whole heart and soul. But of course, Adam, he broke that covenant. And now that covenant of works that is broken in so far that men, through the letter of that covenant of works, he can no more come up and climb up to the Lord. But the demand of that covenant, that is still there. And therefore Christ came in this world to fulfill the law, to obey the law. We speak time and again here that in sermons too on Sunday. about the passive and the active obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that passive obedience that refers to his suffering, and that active obedience that referred that he obeyed the law and that he fulfilled all the commandments of the Lord. And now God is satisfied with the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ had done two things in regard to that. He had reconciled God with a sinner, and he reconciled a sinner with God. It is too bad that there is not so much even outwardly knowledge of that. Je hier in general wel talken about the reconciliation of a sinner with God, but the reconciliation of God and a sinner, we hear that not so much. But still, that Christ, by his mediatorial work, that he had reconciled God with a sinner, that comes on the foreground. Therefore, in the 33 years that Christ was here on earth, think about that text, congregation. The fox had holes, and the birds had nests, but the Son of Man had nothing to lay down his head. In those 33 years, there was never a person in the world that was so in strife and that was so lonesome and that was so in distress as the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we know more of him, people. God as yet was always behind him. Always. Because Christ had to pay for the last penny. Christ had to bore the wrath of God and to satisfy the justice of God. In other words, maybe I can use that expression that you can understand it a little better. Christ, from the beginning to the end, he obeyed the covenant of works. On Calvary's cross, when he cried out, "It is finished," then he came at the end of the covenant of works, in the satisfying God as judge. Not for himself, we know that, because he had no actual or original sin, but all that Christ had done here on earth, that was to the benefit of his dear children, to the benefit of that people congregation, that in their life more and more come to the realization that they are unable to do anything that is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. The only thing, congregation, when the Lord come in our heart, that is to realize that our life, that is nothing else than a condemned life. Shall that now ever change in our life? No. No. I say that well more in a sermon on this pulpit to you. There is not one morning in our life, and ook not one evening going to our bed, that we can say, "Lord, now I am so happy this morning and so happy this night that there is no reason to ask for the forgiveness of our sins." But it is always sin and iniquity. and condemned life. But now that miracle, that wonder, Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And now we come to those two things, that in the state of Christ's humiliation, then he merited salvation for his church. And Shell can well comprehend that this evening. Right, boys? That Christ merited salvation for all his dear people. He merited that salvation so perfect that we have, and what a blessing, that we even have not to add it one sigh and one cry. Go it in our life without that? No, no, no. They that sow the tears, that shall reap it joy. But it become never a ground for eternity. Our tears and our sighing and our crying, that is well a fruit of regeneration, but that is not a ground upon which that the Lord grant unto us grace. Right? But now, after 40 days, that Christ came out of the grave, and that he had in his hand received that the curse of the law was taken away, that the law was fulfilled, that the head of the devil was bruised, and that the Father was satisfied, then after 40 days, then he ascended into heaven. And as you read in other places of the Bible, that he was taken up in heaven, that the Father took him up, and that the Father gave him a place at his right hand. And now for what cause? For that cause that he, what he had merited, that he did now apply to all his dear children. To all his dear children. And that they all share one with more awareness than the other, and one with stronger faith than the other, but that they all, even the least of them, that they share in the benefits of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, I come back to the year of Jubilee. That people, one for longer time than the other, but all that people that was longing for that year, that they were free from their master. No more servants. No more subjected, but free. And that they abide, that they receive everything back, what they have lost before. Thus, I say that already from the Feast of Passover and from the Feast of the Tabernacles, I will say that also the Feast of Pentecost and the Year of Jubilee, there was a feast among the people and among the families. You can well realize that those families, that they received that poor man with his family with joy and with gladness. And to receive all the substance. What a high time that was for that people. Thus in the days of the old dispensation, there was joy also as in the days of the new dispensation. I shall read one text to you. It is better that I look it up, because then I have it right. You shall not take that evil to me that I do it. But in Psalm 4, then David, he said, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that the corn and the wine increased. And that was now personally for David. But with all those feast days, Then they were together in the tabernacle and in the temple. And then they were singing there the Psalms 113 to 118. It was a great thing for that people to realize that. We have many texts, of course, that refers to that. I hope that I quick can find it for you this evening. But there is also a text in Psalm 98. He has remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. All those texts, and there are so many more, of course, all those texts, they refer to the opening and to the joy that the people had when they have such a feast. That was also in the day of Pentecost. First when they brought the sheaves before the Lord, but later on when she brought the loaves of bread before the Lord, to give the Lord all the praise and all the honor for what he had done in the realm of nature. But as I told you already, all those things what have the number of 50, that refers all to Calvary's cross, and that refers all to the day of Pentecost. Because there is only freedom, there is only liberty through Christ. And when the Holy Spirit come in our heart and in our midst. You read in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17, where the Spirit is, there is liberty. And of course that feast of harvest, that was referring to the harvest of the world. The Philistines, the Tyre, the Moor, they shall be brought in the city of God. And in Isaiah 6:66, then there is a text that said that even the kings of the earth, that they shall bring the glory in that new Jerusalem. All through Christ, and all to the honor and to the glory of the Lord. The disciples, after that they were on the Mount of Olives, and that they have seen Christ going up into heaven, there was not one bit sorrow of loneliness in their heart, no, but there was in their heart a joy and a gladness. They returned to Jerusalem, you read that in Luke 24, they returned to that city with joy. And then they came in that upper room for 10 days. Was there sorrow when they were 10 days together? Was there doubt in their heart? No. No. Their attitude was so different as that it was before. The eyes of their understanding were opened. Fully opened on the day of Pentecost. But there is a difference between opened and fully opened. Why were they joyful when they in the 10 days? Because Christ himself, who was bodily gone, but who remained spiritually with his divine nature with him, had promised them the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit that was promised in the Old Testament already. That was promised in the Psalms. I go back farther than the Psalms. We know a man, maybe the Lord gave no an opportunity another time to talk about that farther. I only will mention it this evening. But there was in the Old Testament a man that had one time so much to do with the Holy Spirit in his own heart. For that Moses, that man that was so laboring with the promises of the Lord, that he said, oh, that all the people of the Lord were prophets, and that the Lord would give his Spirit over them. And that was ook under the law. But Moses had before his sight already Pentecost Day. And then David, wonderful. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, and Zechariah, they all talked about the day of Pentecost. And now Christ, he promised that Holy Spirit to his disciples too. He said in John 16, it is expedient for you that I depart, that I go away, because otherwise the Comforter cannot come. And Christ entered with his blood before his Father, not literally, but his blood, that means his mediatorial work. And on the basis of that mediatorial work, 10 days after the Ascension Day, that Holy Spirit that came down, they have received the promise of the Spirit. More? Yes. Yes. On the evening of the resurrection, then Christ was breathing upon the disciples, and then he said, receive the Holy Ghost. But now in the Acts of the Apostles in the first place, in the first chapter, then he said, stay now in Jerusalem till that you shall receive the power of the Spirit. And that are all here, all different ways in which the Lord reveal himself to his dear children. The prayers, the receiving, but also the person of the Spirit. And as Christ came in Bethlehem once, no more, and that he was born out of Mary, once, so on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came from heaven here on earth in the midst of the congregation. You read 3 times in regard to the Trinity that they came down from heaven. Boys and girls especially, please take it in your mind. If it is hard to take it in your mind, write it this down when you come home this evening. The first time that the Father came down from heaven, that was in paradise. After the fall with that first promise in Genesis 3 verse 15. The Son came down in Bethlehem when the fullness of time was there and that God sent his Son into this world. And now the Holy Spirit as person came down on the day of Pentecost. And now that text has said here, and thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks, and the first fruit of the first fruits of wheat, in earing of wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. There was never in the world for the church a day as the day of Pentecost. Once they were killed under the justice of the Lord in the time of Moses, 3,000 people. But on the day of Pentecost, there was a number converted of 3,000 souls. In Psalm 118, ask your father and mother and my boys, but I cannot say it in English. But dit is de dag, de roem der dagen. The day of Pentecost, that was the boasting day in the Lord for God's people. Because 3,000 under one sermon converted to the Lord. And then the disciples, they had done what Christ had said them, first to Jerusalem, and then to the end of the world, but first to Jerusalem. And they have done it, they obeyed the Lord, they preached there the gospel with so much power and with so much joy for their own heart and for their own soul. They start in eternity and they ended in eternity. Why? Were the first sermon wrong? No, no. No, they have never talked lies to the people in those 3 years. But of course, with the day of Pentecost, then the full light that goes up in the soul. They were established in the state, apostles. Established in their condition and established in their offers. Write it up, my down, if you cannot keep it in your mind. That are all points. We are not catechism here, but of course, preaching, that is ook teaching, right? And we never can know too much about it. But established in the state before it was, shall it be? Is it true? Not on the day of Pentecost. Not on the day of Pentecost. Then the work of God, that was so clear for the soul, that at that day, even in the state, the devil could not come in between. No. Sin lays under, the world lays under. And they were standing there in the condition of the soul and in their offers with such a boldness and with such a liberty. The people that was confounded. And they say, are not all these men Galileans? Unlearned people? Never in college? And never in university? And then, there were people there from 15 different countries. 15. 15. And it was not that Peter and that other people, the other apostles, spoke one language and that all the people could hear it. No, they spoke all those languages. This the day that the Lord had made. And then there were proselytes of righteousness there. Proselytes of the gates, and the proselytes of the gates that were already Gentiles in those days. They came from Italy. They came from all different places of the world. Who brought them there? The Lord brought them there. The Lord. Christ, he said, when I am lifted up from this world, then I shall draw them all to me. That happens on the day of Pentecost. And then the Lord had done there such wonders and some miracles, people, that there was a joy in the Lord. You have heard that Sunday evening, I think in that sermon over Pentecost at the end of Luke 2, what a joy and gladness that there was amongst that people there. But the Lord had wrought that in their heart. And that's so sudden, so wonderful, and it's such some power. Therefore, congregation, oh, the day of Pentecost, that is a great day for the church. A day to rejoice in the Lord. En nou, je kan realize dat tekst door heb je in Exodus hier. En thou shalt observe. En dat this evening, that I may now emphasize the word observe in your midst. Observe the feast of weeks. Of the first fruits of wheat harvest. And that soon the eunuch, the jailer, Cornelius, and in Acts 13, and now I stop, but even in Acts 13, Paul preached there for Jews and for Gentiles, for heathens, and the Jews showed their enmity, but the heathens, after that the service was done, then they came to Paul and they asked him, they plead with him to have the next Sabbath day the same service. This is from the Lord. Observe. Observe. The Feast of Weeks. Of the fruit, the first fruits of wheat harvest. And the feast of ingathering at the year's end. And the year's end that has such a broad meaning congregation that refers to the end of the world. And lo, I am with you always till the end of the world. We will sing and then over a few words and then we close. Number, 143. The last stanza, 143, from out thy presence cast me not, thy face no more to see, thy Holy Spirit and his grace take not away from me. 143, the last stanza. Congregation, only a few words. The time goes on and we must well say, Lord, thy mercy is great that we have an opportunity this evening to come together. You know the weather yesterday and we have no much rain when we came to this place this evening. It was so dark. And I thought this afternoon, maybe it is cut off to go to Kalamazoo. But the Lord, in his mercy, he brought us not still to this place and had given us the privilege to say not some words about the Feast of Pentecost. The mercies of the Lord are great over all of us people. And it is maybe for me, for you, may well for some of us that it is the last time that we have heard the history of Pentecost. We have no continuing city and we have to die and to meet our Maker. In one of our congregations there died a boy, 27 years old, father of three children, a tumor in his head, and last week he was buried already. What is life? And then you must say, O Lord, what is the difference that we are still in the land of living? Elder de Bat died. Elder Kooijman died in Sillewak. Elder, you are no more elder now, but Saturday the Knecht was buried in the east, and so man goes to his long home. And now the necessity, people, for each and every one, that it become the Feast of Passover, that it become a Feast of Tabernacle, and that it become the Feast of the Harvest, that we are privileged, that the Lord grant unto us his Holy Spirit in our heart and in our life. The world passes away with all the lust thereof, people. And the older that we become, some of amongst us, they know it too, some who are old here and at the end of life, and they shall agree with me when I say this evening, the world and life that becomes more and more empty, more and more empty. And there is nothing what can satisfy our heart, people. That is only the Lord. And that we are partakers of the benefits of Christ and what he had merited in the way of his active and passive obedience, and that the Holy Spirit applies that to our heart. There is nothing so necessary as the Spirit, because that Spirit that quickens, that makes us alive, that Spirit that reproves of sin, righteousness of judgment, and that Holy Spirit that glorified Christ in the heart of a sinner, and then afterwards leading us into all the truth and sealed us to the day of deliverance. Young and old, we are travelers to eternity. Oh, that the preaching and reading, that it never shall testify against you, but that it be a blessing as travelers to eternity. And that we share in it, people. Oh, that we share in it. And Smite the Held, oh, that dear old man, he said in a sermon, if you can no more pray, try to sigh. And if you come so far that you can no more sigh, look to heaven, because the Lord knows what is necessary for you. And he never shall forget the cry of the humble. Oh, all those that seek the Lord in truth and uprightness, they shall find him. And it shall be people amongst me that shall say, oh, that is in question. That is in question whether that it shall ever be for me. But if we in our life may learn to receive a godly sorrow over our sins, and with some moments a divine joy in the Lord, then at his time he shall supply our needs and wants for soul and body, for time and eternity. And then we shall have a ground to stand on and a rock to rely on for time and death and eternity, for the hour of death and for the day of judgment. Oh, people, that there stays something in our heart, what we have heard in this evening out of God's holy word, and that the Lord apply it to the hearts of his people, even that they are home or that they are here with us in this evening, but that he sanctify it to our soul, and that we may look forward for that harvest feast in heaven, where the Son shall say to his Father, behold me, and the children that thou hast given unto me. Amen. Lord, that thy name be glorified and be honored at the end of this service. We were privileged to bring thy word in this evening. Oh, that it be to an eternal blessing for young and old, for great and small. Bring us safely to our homes and destination. Protect us on the road. Remember us and our children and grandchildren. Make them interested for the word of God and for that salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Look upon us in mercy and in compassion. Be with the consistory. Give him a minister out of thy hand. Thou art the only one who can incline the hearts, and that many were called with such a calling from thee to explain that everlasting gospel, and that for Christ's sake only. Amen. Now, this evening, in the consistory, I was told some things in the congregation. Family from Pete Baker, Miss lost her mother. Schipper and his wife go tomorrow to the Netherlands. And Mrs. Purcell came home from the hospital to her husband and children. We are glad that the Lord had made it so well with her too. And we hope further that he strengthens her stained. And that other mother that is in the hospital, we hope the Lord bring her back. You shall not take it evil that I say those things this evening, because we have to live with one another. And finally, Dan van Selde with his wife tomorrow, they are 40 years married. And we know the time in the years that we were here, that there were sometimes very dark also for them, what they have lived through. But they are still with one another, and the Lord's mercy is not still over them. And we hope that by the climbing of your years, for self them, wife, that the Lord be with you and prepare for that great and ever-ending eternity, for that marriage feast with Christ that never shall come to an end. Instead of the doxology, we sing now together in regard to that privilege that people have tomorrow. 192, this first stanza. O gracious God, forsake me not when I am old and gray, that unto those that follow me I may thy might display. 192, the first stanza. Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.